if that's what you would like to talk about. You don't have to talk about it a lot. Just go up to somebody, say, hey, my name is, something new I learned is this, and something I got is this, and that's all you need to do. I'm just going to give you 2 or 3 minutes, so stand up, find someone, enjoy getting to move around a little, and then we'll move into the sermon. Put a smile on your face. Okay, friends, if you will finish up your list of new things and then find your seat. All right, let's regroup. Mercy Mangrich, Mercy, what did you get for Christmas? How many new sets of Legos? 8. She's the winner. I really would like to see them, and I want to know more about them. I might have to come over, but Legos are always a win. Of all the toys that we got rid of, Legos is not one of them. We kept them because they're so amazing. I hope that people had a wonderful Christmas celebration. I know that sometimes Christmases can be difficult and hard for different reasons, but I hope that if yours was difficult and hard, that there was still something beautiful and wonderful in it. This morning it is the last day of 2023, which is such a random... Who cheered? Trey. I don't know if I want to know why, but thank you for being honest. It's such a random thing that we decide on this day, everything wraps up and tomorrow everything is new. We really should feel that way about every day, but that is how we celebrate it. So before we look in scripture today, let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for another new day, whether it's in December or June or August or February, every day is new with you. And we are grateful for every new day that we get to live and share with the people that we love and follow you. I pray that this morning, as we are up here together as a family, that you would be with us as we look at your word, that you would guide us, And as we leave here today, that you would be with us and that you would change us into new people. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at a very familiar story this morning. I knew that it was a family Sunday, and so I kind of had in my mind that I was gearing up to share with children, and there's far fewer children here this morning than there usually are, but that's where we're going to go anyway. I'm not going to change things for us. We're going to stay where we are. So it is tomorrow, a new year, last day of an old year. I want to tell you a new story this year about a little town called Riverside that was full of people who loved each other, sometimes got along, sometimes had normal days. But Riverside was a town that was rather small, but had some really good things in it that other people wanted, big, important people, like the town called Mountainside. And so one day, the people from Mountainside, who were big and tough and had a lot of resources and maybe were bullies but also built really good roads, they went to the town of Riverside and they said, "We're in charge now. We're in charge of you. You do what we tell you to do. We make the decisions." This is code for Rome and Jerusalem, in case you didn't know. Okay, so that's what happened. And Riverside, all of a sudden, weren't their own people anymore. There were other people telling them what to do, making the rules, telling them what things they had to do. Mountainside didn't get into all of their business, but they got into a lot of their business. And one of the parts of their business that they got into was their money. And if you want to make someone angry, you get into their money business. So what Mountainside people said was, "Well, in order for us to boss you around, we need more resources. And in order for us to build really great roads, we need a lot of resources. So every time you buy something now, you're going to have to pay some taxes. And actually, even if you don't buy stuff, just anytime we decide we want some taxes, we're going to come get them from you." So all of a sudden, Riverside, who probably already had to pay some taxes, had to pay more taxes to the bullies of Mountainside, which never makes anybody happy. Taxes never make anybody go, "Whoo," like Trey did when I said it's the last day of 2023. If I'd said no more taxes, we would all go, "Whoo," but that's not what they said. They said there's going to be more taxes. And the way that they did this, which was really kind of sneaky, was instead of them coming in and collecting the taxes, the Mountainside people got Riverside people to collect taxes from Riverside people. I don't know if they thought that that was going to make it a little easier or if they thought then people wouldn't get mad, but actually what it did was it made people more mad because Riverside people had Riverside friends who were now collecting taxes for the bullies of Mountainside. So if you were a second grader in Riverside and you went to your little school store to buy pencils or an eraser or something, and it was 25 cents, now you would have to pay 35 cents. And you'd give the extra to your second grade friend from Riverside who was working for the Mountainside bullies to collect the extra money for them. So you might start not liking that friend as much as you used to because they were taking your money to give to the bad guys. But they were also keeping a little bit of it for themselves so that their piggy bank was getting fuller than it was before. All because you couldn't just spend 25 cents on an eraser anymore. You had to spend extra. This went on for a long, long, long time in a real place called Jerusalem. And there were people named the Romans who were collecting extra taxes. And what happened was there was kind of, I don't know if it was a pyramid scheme, but kind of like a pyramid scheme. At the top, there were chief tax collectors, and all the tax collectors under them would get a little extra money that had to go up here, but they'd keep enough so that everybody in between got a little bit too. So if you were a chief tax collector, it was worse than just being the second grader who was collecting an extra dime at the eraser store counter. They would keep adding on more and more and more so that your 25-cent eraser now might cost a dollar because everybody in between had to get a little cut of the pie, a little piece of the profit. So what that meant was that in Riverside, if one of your former friends was a tax collector, you probably didn't like them very much anymore, which is sad for that person, but that's what it was like. We're going to look at a story today. It's a story that probably everybody has heard before about a tax collector, not from Riverside, but from the Jewish people in Israel. in Jerusalem when Jesus lived. And this is how the story goes. Jesus, and he probably had his friends with him called his disciples, entered Jericho to make his way through the town. And the reason he's going through Jericho here, he's coming from up here where he did a lot of his work. He's coming down through Jericho because he's heading to Jerusalem. This is the end of Jesus' earthly life. He is headed to Jerusalem where he's going to be arrested and crucified and eventually will resurrect again. But this is the big finale of his earthly life. So you might think that he's in a hurry. He doesn't have time for things because he's headed to the big show. This is like the big number that he's headed to. He entered Jericho, which is a big town, big fancy town, made his way through the town, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus. So we know that Zacchaeus is from Jericho. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in that whole region, which means he was at the top of the pyramid. Well, at the very top were the mountainside people. But he's in the pyramid, and he's collecting extra money from his neighbors and his friends and his coworkers, and a lot of it is going to the big bully guys, but some of it is going into his pocket or his piggy bank, if they had those back then. He was the chief tax collector, and, little important fact, he had become very rich, the story says. He wanted to get a look at Jesus. Some versions say he wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree. These are not like the sycamore trees that we have in Indiana, which are tall, narrow things that blow around in the wind and then shed their bark and have leaves the size of this that you have to blow out of your yard for approximately 6.5 weeks every fall season, just in case you wondered. They're not like those. It's actually spelled differently. It should be. It's not in here. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. This kind of tree grew short and out like this, so it was easy to get up into it. For Jesus was going to pass by that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus," and I've always wondered, how did Jesus know his name? I don't think Jesus was born with a Rolodex in his head where he got to just flip through and he knew everybody's name and what town they were from and how tall they were and everything about them. I think either Jesus already knew about Zacchaeus because someone had told him, or I think that he looked at someone next to him and said, "Hey, what's that guy's name up in the tree?" He called Zacchaeus by name and he said, "Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people in the crowd were not happy about it. They grumbled and said, "He's going to the house of a notorious sinner, a chief tax collector. Why would he do that?" But meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before Jesus and said, "I will give away half of my wealth to the poor." And remember, he had become very rich. So there's a lot to give away. "And if I've cheated anyone on their taxes, I will give them back 4 times as much as I cheated them out of." And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this home today," meaning Zacchaeus, and he maybe had a wife and children and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. Jesus said, "The good news about me has come to this home today because this man, Zacchaeus, has shown that he is a true son of Abraham," or in our story, he's a true Riversider. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Ollie and Nathan, will you two stand up? You don't have to come up here. I'm not going to make you do a dance and a song or anything. Just stand up where you are. Ollie, how old are you?
16.
Nathan, how old are you?
17.
Okay, I'm shorter than under their armpits. I'm just telling you from here, I can tell. These guys are so tall, and I noticed it when I was sitting. Plus, Nathan has like an extra couple inches of hair, which makes him that much taller. Thank you. You guys can sit down. Some people are just tall. Some of us just aren't. And it doesn't matter how much I resolve today, December 31st, to be taller starting tomorrow in the new year, it's not going to happen. I used to wear shoes that were a little higher to try and be taller. Almost broke my ankle every time I did it, so now I just wear flat shoes. But there are some things that you have no control over and cannot change. I can will myself to be taller, and I can will my hair to be curlier as much as I want up until the clock turns tonight, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. Some people are just tall, and some people aren't. Zacchaeus was not tall. And it seems like it's the most important thing in this story, but it doesn't get talked about until halfway through, and it's just a little blip. He was too short to see over the crowd. Now, I have a couple questions for you to think about. Oh, wait, first of all, actually, I've got the clicker in my pocket. So I've got Kleenex on one side, I've got the clicker on one side. Do we have pictures here? I want to show you some pictures of people who just, it doesn't matter how much they try. Now, he might be tall now, but these people are all in middle school. And the one on the left is the oldest of the three. And sometimes that's just how life is. It doesn't matter what you wish about how tall you are. And the one on the right is wearing flats. So she's doing everything she can to not be as tall as she is. And he's doing, he's kind of standing tall. I don't know. They're all in middle school. These are all in high school. All of them are in high school. The middle one is related to me. And it doesn't matter what he would try and do, he's not going to be any taller the next day, in a couple years maybe. At age 12, in the story about Jesus at 12, it says he grew in stature, which means he got taller, which I think is very good news. But sometimes your height is not what you might want it to be. These people are all in college. They're all the same age. Look at the one in the middle. She's standing on her toes, by the way. They're all, and it's true that Jenny is wearing really high heels. She might be a little shorter as well. This is my friend JoJo on the left. I'm taller than JoJo. That doesn't make me, I mean, I'm older than I am not taller than JoJo, but I'm shorter and older than JoJo. The one in the middle is my cousin when he was in middle school. The one on the right is a guy named Deshaun, who was in high school at the time. It does not matter what I wish, I will not ever be taller than I am. And sometimes that's an inconvenience. At parades, when I'm in line and I can't see what's going on, if I'm at a show and the seats aren't this much, if they're like this, there's a chance I'll be able to see. But if it's just a gentle slope, there's not a chance that I'll be able to see. Zacchaeus was short. And there was nothing he could do about it, except he did. He climbed a tree. So I want to ask you a couple questions. You don't need to answer out loud. But if you were Zacchaeus and you wanted to see someone and the crowd wasn't going to let you through, see, if Nathan and Ollie were two people in the crowd and if I were Zacchaeus, I wouldn't be able to see past them, and they wouldn't like me because I was the chief tax collector, and there's no way they would have stepped aside to let me see. They would have blocked me. The reason Zacchaeus couldn't see is not just because he was short. It's also because nobody was willing to move aside to let him see. People could have said, "Oh, Zacchaeus, I'm so sorry, you can't see. Let me move so you can see." That's not hard to do. But we don't usually do that for people that we are angry with. And people were angry with Zacchaeus. What would you have done if you'd wanted to see Jesus, but were too short to see over a group of people who didn't like you and were not going to make room for you? Well, Zacchaeus ran ahead. I'm just going to be honest, I would have walked ahead, but he ran. He ran ahead and found a tree and climbed up. That's how determined he was to see. Would you have tried to push through the crowd? Sometimes we try and push back against people who aren't very nice to us. it rarely does anything good, but sometimes that's what we do. If you were the crowd, what would you have done? Would you have said, oh, this is Zacchaeus, I feel bad. I mean, he takes all my money, but he wants to see Jesus, so I'm going to make room for him. Or would you have tightened up and maybe locked elbows so that nobody could have seen? I think the story invites us to ask all these questions. Would we have been the grumbling crowd, like the crowd in this story? Or would you have let him see? And what would you have done if you were Jesus? Because if, in fact, Jesus knew who it was, because he asked someone and said, hey, who's that in the tree? And someone said, oh, that's Zacchaeus. He's the chief tax collector. Which is very possible. Jesus could have said, oh, Zacchaeus, you're the one who's taking money from my people, my relatives, my friends, maybe cheating them, who knows. I've got a couple things to say to you. Are you ready for them? If you were Jesus, what would you have done? Because he had every right and every opportunity to give it to Zacchaeus right then and there. But he didn't. He told him to come down, and then Jesus invited himself to his house, which I love about Jesus. Come down. I'm coming to your house today. That is inverted hospitality in a way that I think is adorable. Here's another question I want to ask you about this story. It says that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, and I've always wondered why. Why would Zacchaeus want to see who this guy was if you knew that what this guy did mostly was talk about how you should be obedient and you should repent of your sins and turn to God? That doesn't feel like it maybe would have been super inviting for someone like Zacchaeus to hear if he's someone who had been cheating people out of their money. But let me give you a few reasons why I think he might have wanted to see who Jesus was. First of all, one of Jesus' closest friends was named Matthew, and Matthew was a tax collector. Right before the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus told a story about a very religious person and a tax collector. And in the story, at the very end, Jesus flips things upside down, and you find out that the tax collector is the one who Jesus is praising because he knows that his heart is actually sincerely interested in God. Nobody would have ever told a story about a tax collector and a religious leader back then and made the tax collector the hero, but Jesus did. And then right after that, there were some children who wanted to see Jesus. You want to know what children are? They're short. So first he told a story about a tax collector who ended up being the hero of a story. Then there were some short people, children, who wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus' friends said, oh, no, Jesus doesn't have time for that. And Jesus said, oh, yes, I do. So there's two things. And then after that, there was a very rich person who came to Jesus and said, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the very rich guy said, I do all of that all the time. And Jesus said, well, there's one more thing. Now, can we just stop for a second? Loving the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, there is nothing more than that. That's everything. That includes it all. So when Jesus said, well, there's actually one more thing, what he's doing is saying, actually, there's part of that that you're not doing. He's not adding another commandment. He's clarifying that this guy actually isn't following that commandment. And he tells the man that he needs to be willing to sell his possessions and give money to the poor. And the man doesn't want to do that. And he walks away sad. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, that was pretty hard. I'm going to make it easier for you. He lets the man walk away. And then at the end of the story, his disciples go, well, who can enter the kingdom of heaven if it's hard for a rich person? Jesus said it's very hard for people with a lot of money to enter the kingdom of heaven because they love their money so much. And then right after that, he meets a very rich person named Zacchaeus who actually ends up not loving his money as much as Jesus And Jesus says to him, you are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. All these things happened right before Jesus met Zacchaeus, all of them. And I would guess that some of them are the reasons that Jesus wanted to see who he was. Who can enter the kingdom of heaven if it's so hard for rich people to, said his disciples. And then along comes Jesus, or Zacchaeus, and you find out that it is actually possible. Because with Jesus, anything is possible. Because with Jesus, people can be made into new people. They can be made into new people. I don't think Zacchaeus was made into a new person in a moment. No, that's not true. I think he was made into a new person in a moment and over time. In verse 6, it says this. Zacchaeus quickly came down, and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. In those 10 words, there is a long walk to wherever Zacchaeus lived. And during that long walk, I imagine there was a lot of conversation. And then they went to Zacchaeus' house, and they had a meal, and I bet Zacchaeus introduced Jesus to his family, so there was a lot of conversation. It was after all of that that Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give half of my money to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'm not just going to pay them back. I'm not just going to pay them back double. I'm going to pay them back four times as much as I cheated them, which was more than he needed to do. Zacchaeus didn't say that when he first came down from the tree. He didn't come down from the tree and say, Jesus, I'm going to give away all my money and I'm going to pay back people four times as much. I think something changed in Zacchaeus when he first saw Jesus, but I think it was the walk and the talk and the conversation, and I would guess that Jesus challenged him a little, and then Zacchaeus became a new person. What Zacchaeus did there is he repented of his sins and he turned to God. That's what Jesus said all along when he was living that we needed to do. Repent of your sins and turn to God. And Zacchaeus did that after meeting Jesus. Here's what I would say to you. If you want to see Jesus, he's ready to be seen. And he'll probably end up seeing you first before you even realize it. If you spend time with Jesus, know that it's going to change you. If you're not looking for any change, if you want to keep things the way they are, if you want to stay in control of your life, if you want to call the shots, I just want you to know that meeting Jesus is going to be very risky. Very good, but very risky. Because he doesn't let any of us stay the way we are. Because none of us are entirely what we should be yet. But if we spend time with him, he will change us into new people. In a moment and over a lifetime. Over a whole lifetime. There's a lot in this story that I think we could spend years talking about. But I think we'll just watch it one more time, okay? Can you play it for it, Zach?
One day, Jesus was walking through the city of Jericho, and a large crowd gathered around him. Zacchaeus was a tax collector who nobody liked because he was unfair and stole money. He wanted to see Jesus, but he was too short. So he climbed a tree.
I almost fell off.
I can see from up here now.
When Jesus saw him in the tree, he said,
Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm coming to your house today.
What? Oh my gosh.
Then they went to Zacchaeus' house together, but everyone was upset because Zacchaeus wasn't a good man.
Why is he doing this?
Then Zacchaeus said,
So I will do this. I'll give all the money back to the people and some money to the poor people.
Then Jesus said,
Salvation has come to this house.
and your sins are forgiven.
From then on, he was a nice guy.
Yay, yay!
Thank you so much, Zacchaeus. Now we can buy a house.
Mercy, they set the bar really high. So I would like you to make Lego movies that are at least as good as that and maybe better. Tomorrow's a new year. In some ways, it doesn't matter at all. Because today is a new day. And next week is a new week. And next month is a new month. And God's mercies are new every day. And in Revelation, Jesus says, look, I'm making everything new. As long as we're willing to let him step in and make us new, he will. And all it takes is spending time with him and listening to him, believing in him and following him. There are things in my life that I wish were different about me, and if all I did was stand here and say, those are going to be different, nothing would change, just like me not getting any taller. But if I give it to Jesus and I spend time with him and I learn more about him and I let him start working on things, then things can change. And every moment can be new, and every day can be new, and every week, and every month, and every year, and every breath can be new because of Jesus. That's hopeful, not just today, but every day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word that is full of such beautiful and amazing and powerful and true stories. Thank you that you are willing to spend time with and see all of us, even if we've been living like a chief tax collector for a long time. Thank you that you will do anything to spend time with us. And thank you that you are not only able to change us, but willing to change us into the people you want us to be. That is such good news, Jesus. Thank you. In your name, amen.
If you would please stand with us and we'll sing one more song together.